Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Katarina Lewis Perry and Michael Kine, and they are the owners of Fresh Roots Humboldt Urban Farm. Now, where is your farm located?
Our farm is located at 1538 McCullens Avenue in southern Eureka, right off the 101.
Okay. And how big is the farm?
Our property is 1/8 of an acre.
Oh, okay. So it really is tiny.
It's small. It's 100 feet long by 50 feet wide. Okay. And our house is right in the middle of it.
And then I've heard this described as a nano farm, like it's not even a micro, it's a nano farm because of the size of it.
It's super tiny. And as we started to decide the things that we wanted to grow, we definitely had to accommodate for the space that we had to be able to create enough produce in such a small space that it could feed ourselves and that we could potentially send food out either to make money off of or to donate.
On your farm, you have your nano CSA, so people who join your CSA. You also have a small berry farm. You also have a commercial home lawn and garden care business. Now, how did you two meet?
We were both in AmeriCorps Watershed Stewards Project, and we met in Fortuna, which is the central location for WSP.
Oh, okay. You met up here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you get a background in farming and food? Were you raised in farming families, or did you come to it kind of later?
My parents definitely didn't garden at all, so I did the opposite of what they did. I did a lot of work at the botanical gardens that I went to school at in South Florida, so that's where I got most of my training.
And I grew up in rural New Hampshire. My mom is super into gardening, but I never really was until I learned how to cook. I was taught how to cook late in life when I started working at a natural food restaurant. And the woman I worked for really taught me how to savor food and understand it. So when I did my undergraduate degree, I studied the ways in which agricultural policies determine human rights. So I looked at a lot of big business cash crops like chocolate, bananas, coconut, sugar. And I also examined what small localized farming would look like in comparison to the global agriculture trade.
Okay. And now a lot of people think of farmers as owning their property. And my experience having interviewed a lot of farmers here in Humboldt County is that generally that isn't the model that they follow. Now, you don't own the land that you are farming on. How did you encourage your landowner to allow you to farm that property?
Our landlord tended to be a very hands-off person. He didn't mind what we did as long as we promised to repair it.
I think a lot of landlords have a fear that the tenants have good intentions but very little follow-through. One of the things we did to incentivize our landlord to allow us to grow food on the property was to offer a sod deposit. He did not take us up on it, but it was the idea that we would offer a deposit, so if we ever did leave, that we would replace the grass that we dug up. Our landlord is absolutely great. It started out with just a 4x4 plot, but when we proved that we were paying rent and being respectful to the property, he allowed us to then do the front yard farm, and then we were able to put all the berries in. So we have about 35 blueberry bushes plus close to 50 species of other fruit plants on the lot we're on now.
Now, one of the obstacles that you have is you're working within the city limits, and so you have to deal with city politics. How has that been to work with?
The city could be a little bit of an issue just for planning reasons, both with easements and cost of water. Also, we have chickens. We have to keep chickens so far from other properties, and we want bees, but we have to be 50 feet away from any domicile, so that's also very difficult.
We do have a home occupation permit and a business license, but that's to practice landscape and garden design. We don't have an environmental health permit in order to sell any produce initially right now from our property. So that's something we're working with the city on. Before the environmental health permits went in, there was a lot of concerns surrounding the farm stand. So what we did to kind of subvert that was have a yard sale. sale, so we'd sell things from our yard and maybe a few shirts as
the
a
whole definition of what a yard sale is.
Exactly. Now, I think if we tried a little bit harder to get the environmental health permit, we could probably have the farm stand. Those are the tricky things in navigating, because the environmental health permit requires a signature from the homeowner, the property owner, which means kind of bothering them. So we recognize that the city has to notify the property owner, but it definitely would be a lot easier if we could just not have to engage our landlord or anyone. But we recognize that those are the limitations to urban farming, and to have a home business is to be respectful of that landlord.
Well, it seems like urban farming is, I think, more and more going to be an interesting model, considering that so many people live in areas where they have a really difficult time accessing produce. So being able to have a place within every small community that is raising at least some of the produce seems important.
And that was the original intention of our business. It has gone more into that mow and blow and landscape design because people really like their ornamentals or their property maintenance. But we would really like to get back into helping our clients build a sustainable backyard farm paradigm that can create perennial food. That's why we chose berries. It's super easy to do. Our neighbors down the street, they grow the zucchini and the squash. So we're hoping to trade berries with them for the zucchini and the squash that they grow, and to create that neighborhood partnership around food and food security.
Yeah, since we developed our front yard farm within a one block radius, we've seen 6 more gardens pop up in the front yard. They might have had them in the backyard before, but now people are realizing that food is beautiful, and they're not just having the beautiful front lawns and ornamental grasses and whatnot and their flowers and hydrangeas. It's also corn.
I know, it's like a paradigm shift for a lot of people to see the garden in the front like that, where it's out there for everybody to see. I don't know why it for years has been hidden in the back, you know, like something to be covered up.
Right. And, you know, the way Michael did say food is beautiful, our house, the way it's designed is our front yard is actually supposed to be a victory garden. And our neighbor remembers it being a victory garden and remembers all of the houses on our street all having front yard gardens. So that was part of the Growing Cities movie, that we saw that shift from when there was kind of national economic security. We started to hide the fact that we're growing our own food because maybe there was some poverty consciousness surrounding growing our own food. So putting that in the back in an out of sight, out of mind way, we're trying to bring that to the forefront and saying, regardless of your financial security, growing your own food is a form of liberation and also a beautiful way to show your neighbors that you are an active part of the community and the neighborhood.
And every day when we see the kids walk by in our neighborhood, they always stop and look at our garden. They kind of point and try to figure out what's what, especially in the winter when it's kind of hard to tell that a blueberry bush is a blueberry bush when there's no blueberries on it. But we're always excited when some kid stops their mom and points and asks, and they always take a little bit, which is fine. We want them to taste things. Anything through the fence, go nuts.
That is a goal, is plant identification for kids in the neighborhood, to have them see what a strawberry looks like on the plant, a raspberry leaf, what these things look like as they're growing, not what they look like in the supermarket. We also do grow things on our fence line. We want to encourage food tasting, and whether it's theft or not, we see it as having kids take that cherry tomato and taste something fresh for the first time. We'd rather have them take that food through the fence than feel like they need to maybe destroy it because they can't reach it, because we live in one of the poorest sectors of town. We live about 3 miles away from Food for People, 3 miles away from social services. We're about 1,000 feet from county. South Eureka doesn't have the resources that the West Side has been given. And so there is a lot of entrenched poverty and a lot of crime in our particular area. So we are trying to create a common thread through food.
Now, if people are interested in becoming a member of your CSA, how can they get in touch with you?
The easiest way would be to contact us through our website or our email, which is info@freshfruitshumboldt.org. And in that way, we can get back to them and schedule them for possible CSA pickups.
And our website is freshrootshumboldt.org.
Great. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Katarina Lewis-Perry and Michael Kine from Fresh Roots Humboldt Urban Farm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.